Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, welcome to Christ Covenant Online. My name's Ryan, and I'm the senior pastor here. And I'm so glad that you're watching wherever you're watching from. Some of you are watching on YouTube, our website. You're listening on the podcast. And other of you are watching on Facebook. No matter how you're watching, I want to give you a big shout out and say thank you. And hey, would you do me a favor? If you're excited for church online today, would you make some noise in your home? I know it feels a little bit funny, but would you give a shout out to God? Would you praise God for a moment? Scare your neighbors and let them know that God's doing a great work. And if you're watching on Facebook, would you light up the comments section? If you're on a Facebook watch party, put some fire emojis in there. Maybe even get crazy. Put some praise hands, but let people know you're excited and you're expectant for God's word. And if anything moves you during this short message today, then I want you to give me a digital amen and let people know, hey, that spoke to my heart, but I'm so glad that you're logged on. And before we jump into the message, we've just got to spend a moment and talk about last weekend. I'm talking Easter weekend. It was definitely different, but God moved in power and God helped us reach people we were not able to reach before. In fact, I got to tell you something. We had over 300 homes logged on for our Easter services with over 2,000 live views. Can somebody give God glory? We were able to speak God's hope and peace and love and power even in the middle of this pandemic. Now, may you never forget that this isn't just a numbers game, okay? Every number has a name. And every name has a story, and every story matters to God. These are people, men, women, adults, children that we were able to reach. Now, for those of you that call Christ Covenant home, you know that this means something now. This means that you're sending all of our ministry staff, including this guy, to the polar plunge. Like, you did it. You knocked it out of the park. So as soon as we can meet in person again, we're going to make sure that we bring out the dunk tank and we're going to fill it to the brim with ice water. So in the meantime, why don't you work on your fastball, work on your curveball, your slider, your knuckleball, and make sure you're ready for that moment. We're going to have some fun. But to God be the glory for what he did this past Easter. Make no mistake about it, we are a part of a move of God. But wait, it keeps getting better. Not only were we able to reach a lot of people this past weekend, but we also took up our legacy offering. And again, Christ Covenant, you knocked it out of the park. We had a little over $8,000 come in for our legacy offering. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the many of you who sacrificially gave. And so here's what this means for our legacy offering. We've already done this. This past week, we wrote a check to Katie Christian Ministries. We blessed them and we funded them financially to continue to feed people. And they do even way more than that here in our communities. But not just that, because you went above and beyond, we didn't plan this, but we also were able to write a check to Cyfair Helping Hands to bless them as they feed people and they help people in our area. Isn't that awesome? And then, of course, we've set aside money in our benevolence count, and we've set aside money for our big serve day that's going to happen sometime this summer. So again, I just want to say thank you. And I just want to say this too, like, isn't this fun? Like, this is fun, reaching people with the good news, helping people who are in desperate need, who need hope. This is fun. This is what the church should look like, because the church is not a building. It's a people. It's you. It's me. We're working together. So thank you this past Easter that you didn't just spectate, you participated. You didn't just sit back and watch, which would be really easy to do right now, but you gave, You served, you shared, you hosted Facebook watch parties, you texted to your friends and your family, you called them, said, hey, log on, watch this service. Thank you, thank you, thank you for partnering with me to reach people with the gospel, the good news. This is what the church should look like. Well, let's keep it rolling as we move into our brand new series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And really, this is the situation that we're all forced to be in during this pandemic, because not one of us has been through this before. We're all trying to figure out and navigate this new normal. Now, some decisions that we're needing to make right now, yeah, they're easy. In some situations, there's a clear solution. But you know, as well as I do, that most situations we're dealing with in the present, there is not an easy answer. There is not an easy solution. You're asking questions. I'm asking questions. People are asking questions like this. How do I deal with my loneliness, even in the middle of isolation? How do I find another job during stay-at-home orders? Or how do I make sure that we're still married once this ends? And why is there nothing better to watch on Netflix? Can I get a digital amen? Like, we all have questions. We all need answers. And some of our questions are lighthearted, but a lot of them are more serious. Maybe you're asking this question. How do I keep my faith when fear keeps knocking at my door? Here's another one. How do I make the best of this season, even though it's something I never wanted? We all have questions. We all need help. And this is why we have a series like this. So here's what's going to happen, just to set the table. We're going to look to the book of Proverbs, and in part one, specifically the life of Solomon, as we discover practical answers to the problems in front of us. So if you have a copy of God's word with you, just like I do, would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1? Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read several verses together. We're going to start in verse 2, and we're going to go all the way through verse 7. I'm reading out of the NLT version, but whatever version you have will work very well. And here's what God's word says, starting in verse 2. Their purpose, talking about the Proverbs, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. We need God's wisdom right now. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, this is the most important verse for our discussion today. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. If you're taking notes, I'm calling part one of this series, Start Here. Start here. Let's pray together. Jesus, we need you, and we love you so much. And I know this, there's a lot of people in our church, in our community, that are hurting. There's a lot of people that have lost their jobs. They've been furloughed. There's a lot of people that there's marriage issues, there's family issues. There's a lot of people underneath the sound of my voice that there's anxiety and fear. There's worry, there's depression, there's pain, there's panic. So I pray for my friends. I pray even now, Holy Spirit, that you would come close. In fact, we know this, that you are close to the brokenhearted. So may they feel your presence. May it be real. May it be tangible. And I pray in part one of this series, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint my words. I know your holy word is already anointed, but may you anoint my words. May they penetrate even the hardest of hearts. I pray for the prodigal son and the prodigal daughter that they would come home. I pray, God, that anybody that maybe they've been trembling in fear, I pray that faith would rise up from within. And I pray that no one would leave this online service being impressed with me, but instead impressed with your word, impressed upon their heart. May you change us from the inside out, we pray, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You see, the book of Proverbs is 31 chapters of pure gold. And if you've never read through the entire book, please do so during this series. A proverb a day keeps the devil away. Like, read God's word. But Proverbs is filled with tweetable wisdom that it stood the test of time. And most of it was written by a guy named Solomon. Now, Solomon was a king. You probably heard of him if you grew up in church like myself. And Solomon was incredibly wise. In fact, leaders and kings would come from all over the world to him to learn from him, to see his wise ways. Think Yoda to everybody else's Luke Skywalker. And in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3 and also 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we get a little picture, a snapshot of just how Solomon got to be so wise. And so I want to set the stage for you, and this is really important context for the entire series. David, the greatest king that Israel had ever seen, he has died. And the people, they loved David. He was a warrior. He defeated Goliath. You've probably heard of that story. He was good looking. He was a musician. He was passionate. He was one of those guys that you look at him and you're like, that's not fair. He's got everything. Here I am with a pair of tins and he's got a royal flush. Like, he had it all, everything. And Solomon is David's son. And so Solomon has to live up to his extremely successful father. So let's make this more relatable to you. Right now in your home, think of any celebrity, any athlete, any pastor, anybody in your life from close or from afar that you admire, that you really look up to. And then think about how hard it would be to be their kid, to try to live up to that person's expectations, to be held to their unattainable standard. The example that I think of is Michael Jordan. Like, how tough that must be to be one of his kids. Y'all know this. There is only one Jordan. And there was only one King David. And getting back to Solomon, not only did he have to live up to his dad's standard, but to make matters worse, there was a controversy around whether or not Solomon or his older brother should be the next king. And you thought your family had issues. They had issues. Now, there was a lot more that went down, but we don't have time to cover it all. So suffice it to say, Solomon, he's trying to hold this thing together. His dad's gone. People are wondering whether or not he's the right man for the job. There is a lot of problems, just like we're experiencing right now. But the Bible says that Solomon loved God. Loved God. In the middle of everything he was going through, God appeared to Solomon. And here's what he said. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7. God comes to Solomon at night and says this, "What do you want? Ask, and it will be given to you." Now just hit pause for a second. What an amazing question for God to ask someone. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking what I'm thinking. God, would you come to me tonight, and would you ask me that question of what you could do for me? Like, maybe you're picturing the whole scene from Aladdin, right? And we rub the lamp, and God pops out, and he's like, "You ain't ever had a friend like me." He does this whole dance routine, and then he gives you three wishes. Now, if you're thinking that, that's not what's going down here. That's not the scene at all. God's not a genie in a lamp. God here, he's making sure that Solomon continues to have the right heart. And not for God's benefit, because God knows his heart, but for Solomon's benefit and for our benefit, to make sure he had the right motives. This revealed where his heart truly lied, this question that God asked him. And here's what I want you to see. Here's a big thought. What you want will determine what you do. I want to say that again. This is relatable to you and to me. What you want will determine what you do. And Solomon wanted to follow God. Solomon wanted to serve people. He wanted to help others. And so because his motives were pure, his actions were pure. So let's make this personal in the middle of our new normal, the coronavirus. Yes, you may not know what to do right now in this moment. So start with what you want to do. Do you want to live for God, or do you want to live for yourself? Do you want to help people that are hurting? And there's a lot of people that are hurting. Do you want to make a difference with your life? What do you want? And so Solomon, he responds to God's questions, God's offer. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 1, now moving down to verse 10. Give me wisdom. This is Solomon to God. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon asked for wisdom. And here's what God said back, the next two verses. Since this is your heart's desire, remember his motives were pure, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies. And since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge you will be given, and I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor such as no king who was before you had ever had, and none after you will ever have. So God does what he said he would do, and he gives heavy doses of wisdom to King Solomon. And this is the guy, Solomon, led by the Holy Spirit, that wrote most of the book of Proverbs. This is him. God not only answered his pure request, but God went above and beyond that. Hey, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you knowledge. But I'm also going to make you wealthy. I'm also going to pour out my favor upon you. God blessed him. Now that's important context. Let's get back to the main text very, very quickly. And I want to point out to you just a couple of takeaway truths. So if you're taking notes in your home, and I encourage you to do that, get ready to jot down just a couple of things. In the first chapter of Proverbs, what we just read, we read words like understand, words like listen, receive. And I want you to notice something about those words. They are all submissive. They're submissive. And so the first step in navigating the difficult time that we're all in is to admit that we don't have it all figured out. In fact, this is point number one, that we would submit to God and admit dependence. I'm going to say that again because I don't think you got it all the way. We have to submit to God and admit dependence. We must stop pretending like we have it all figured out, like we're an expert on this. Nobody is an expert, including you. We must admit that we depend on God, that he's God, and we are not. I had this revelation a couple of days ago. This is not in my notes. This is for free, okay? So get ready. But God gave me this revelation just a couple of days ago. The only person on the planet, the only person in the world that's not affected by the coronavirus is God. That was profound to me and maybe to you. The only person who's not affected by this, because we all are, is God. And he's the one that we need. He's the one that we rely on. He's the one we put our hope and our trust in Him and Him alone. Can I get a digital amen? We must admit that we depend on God, the King of the universe. Submit to God that we're going to receive your wisdom, God. It doesn't matter if we're simple or wise. We need you. We depend on you. Here's the second takeaway truth. Number two, we learn here that we must fear God and nothing else. That's for somebody. We must fear God and nothing else. What does verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 1 say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is where Solomon sums it all up. It's one of the major themes of the entire book of Proverbs. Now, it's really important there at your home that you understand what fear of the Lord actually looks like. Because a lot of people in our world, they have it wrong. You see, when we think of fear, we think of being afraid or scared of something or someone that's going to hurt us. That's how we think of fear. But the meaning here in the Bible is so much better and so much deeper than that. Here's what the biblical definition of fear means from the text. It's a reverent awe of God. A reverent awe and respect of God's power, His majesty, His holiness, that causes us to honor God with our lives. Not just with our words, but with our actions. So when Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, here's what he's actually saying, that it's the foundation of wisdom. It's where you start. You start here. It's the first and most necessary part. I'll say it to you this way. When I understand what it means to fear God, I can live fearlessly. I'm going to say that one again. Come on, somebody amen me from your home. When I understand what it means to fear God, I can live fearlessly. So no matter what we face, if we admit our dependence on God, and if we revere God and His ultimate power and provision, He will help us. He will guide us, even when we don't know what to do. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? In every home, Jesus, right now, as a people, we submit to you. We admit not our independence, but our dependence on you. Jesus, instead of fearing the coronavirus, instead of fearing what's going to happen because I've lost my job and all this anxiety and worry, instead of that, we're going to fear you. But it's not because you're going to hurt us. It's because we're in awe of who you are. We honor you and we revere you. That you are God and we are not. That you take way better care of us than we could ever take care of ourselves. That you have power, that you're majestic, that you're holy. Help us to get back to the right place where we remember who we are, your kids, and remember who you are, our Father. Thank you for speaking during this service a timely word for every single one. And I pray for anybody underneath the sound of my voice, doesn't matter how they're watching or how they're listening, I pray for anyone who's far from you, that in this moment, not tomorrow, not the next day, but in the present, I pray for anybody who's far from you that they would come on home. that even now in their living room, in their car, in their apartment, in their office, maybe they're watching this or listening to this, and they're in their backyard or you're on a walk, wherever they are, even now, I pray that they would surrender their life to you. In fact, you can talk to God right now. It may feel strange. It may feel different. Maybe your heart's even beginning to race a little bit. That's okay. God is with you. God loves you. God cares for you. Right where you are, you can talk to God. Tell him things like this from your heart. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And Jesus, you want to resurrect me, and so I ask you to resurrect my life. Come on, you can talk to him. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. My sin separates me from you. Jesus, forgive me. Wash me. Clean me up. I don't get cleaned up before I come to you. I come to you just as I am, and you clean me up. Come on, tell him this. Jesus, I put my trust in you. I surrender my life. I give you my life. Give me a brand new start. I love you. I trust you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, before you log off, for those of you that prayed that prayer, you're going to see a video here in just a moment of your next steps of what you could do. Let us know of how you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Covenant Extended Online family, I want you to know that I love you, I miss you, and I hope that you'll come back this upcoming Sunday for part two. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.